These past few weeks, we've heard some incredible message. Last Sunday, we heard from one of my pastors, Pastor Sheridan Nelson, who brought an incredible word. This past Wednesday, if you were at First Wednesday or maybe watched online, you heard another incredible word from one of my other pastors, Pastor Dwight Sherrod Riddick II. And today, we're going to continue on in so many of what God has for us through his word. And we're going to hear from one of our very own, Pastor Brian Ayers. And so, church family, can you bless God for Pastor Brian as he comes to share God's word? Come on, y'all, make some noise as he comes.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, this past Thursday was Independence Day. We celebrated. That was awesome. But it was also our pastor's birthday. Pastor, we're so grateful for you. Happy birthday to you. We gave him a gift from the church in the first service. But if you haven't already, make sure you express your gratefulness to him. All of us have been impacted by the fact that you were born. The church exists as you were born, so we're grateful. So, I've been enjoying this summer playlist series as we've been studying Psalms. We've heard some incredible messages. As Pastor was just saying, today we're going to be in Psalm 121. If you've got a Bible or you've got an app on your phone, we'll be there in just a minute. But as we're thinking of a summer playlist, you know, if you've ever taken a road trip as a kid or with a kid, there are four words you are guaranteed to hear at some point, probably more than once, probably in an accusatory tone, right? Everyone knows what they are, right? Are we there yet, right? I used to say it from the back seat. In fact, my family, when I was five, we moved from Florida to Virginia, and then all of my vacations for the rest of my life, we never went anywhere cool. We just drove to Florida and back. Like 18 hours, and it was in, I think we've got a picture of it, a 1982 Pontiac J2000 station wagon. There are barely five seats in there, and there are five people in my family. I'm the oldest of three kids, which meant my brother and sister are each 2 years, like we're all 2 years apart. So I got to sit between two car seats in the back seat of the Pontiac J2000 with some broken down air conditioning. And I can guarantee I said it a million times. Are we there yet? Now I hear it from my own kids, and it's never passive. It's always like it's my fault that we're not there, right? Dad, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? It doesn't even have to be a long trip. But here's the deal. All of us feel like this, though, right? We feel like the kids ask the question because they don't know the answer, and they don't feel in control, and it's a terrible feeling, right? It's like when I feel it when I'm, like, we get upset at kids for it, but watch adults. I was on a plane the other day that got delayed. It was delayed like 15 minutes, and people were losing their minds, right? Because we don't like to not be in control. We don't like to not have the answers, and we don't like to feel like we're not making progress when we should be making progress, right? So all of us feel this. We feel this in our travel. We feel this in life, right? All of us, Pastor Edwin was just talking about, we're in the second half of 2024. It's flown by. And as some of us look back, we made some resolutions, we made some plans, and we thought we'd be further along than we are, right? And we look and we can feel discouraged, right? I'm not there yet. Some of us, we look at our lives and we're like, you know, at this point in my life, I thought I'd be further along than I am, right? Man, I thought I'd be married by now. I thought I'd have finished this degree by now. I thought we'd be pregnant by now. I thought my paycheck would be bigger than it is by now in my life, right? And we can feel discouraged, right? We can get down on ourselves. We can feel this about our spiritual lives, right? Man, I've been following Jesus. I thought I'd not be dealing with this sin anymore, and yet I'm still struggling with it, right? Or I thought I'd be further along. And you know, the Bible does. The New Testament talks a ton about progress. It's one of the things I love about the Christian faith. It's not a religion that's about sitting back and disconnecting, right? There's some faiths that tell you to just lose yourself and become one and you don't care about anything. That's not Christianity, right? Christianity is about moving forward. We grow in our faith. We share it with others where it's constantly moving forward. But sometimes we can feel like, man, I'm not making progress, and it doesn't feel good. If you've ever felt like that, if you've ever felt the hopelessness and the helplessness that comes along with that, whether it's in your spiritual journey or just life in general, this psalm is for you. Because the people who sing this song were feeling exactly that. And I want us to stand to our feet. We're going to read this, and then we'll dive into it. In Psalm 121. I love this psalm. This is another psalm. Last week, Pastor Nelson preached an incredible message from Psalm 122. And he was sharing with us how this section of psalms, from Psalm 120 to 135, are part of a literal playlist. This was a playlist of songs that people would sing as they traveled to Jerusalem, right? Making a playlist is a spiritual act. They had a playlist that they would sing as they took this journey. And these songs served a purpose, right? And this is one of those songs that they would sing. It says this. It says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleeps nor slumbers. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you in your going and in your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Amen. I want to preach on this. I want to title my message today, Are We There Yet? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you are the God who's not with us just at the end of the journey, but you're the God who is with us every step of the journey. Lord, we pray that we would see you more clearly today in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Are we there yet? So I was saying this psalm is one of those songs that is the song, that's a part of the playlist, a song for ascent as people are walking up to, they're traveling to Jerusalem, sometimes taking this multi-day journey multiple times a year to worship God in the temple, to go to the city of God, going up to Jerusalem. And so these people it was normally men, and they would take off work, they would make plans, they would make arrangements, they made sacrifices, and then they would take this long journey on foot, walking up to Jerusalem to worship God. And this was a song that they would sing up along the way, and it was a song that they would often sing at a certain point on that journey. And some theologians say that even the beginning of this is actually kind of a call and repeat, right? Like a good, like, protest song. Like, somebody would call out the beginning, I lift my eyes up to the hills, where does my help come from? And then the rest of the crowd would repeat back, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I don't know if that's true or not, but I love that idea that it was this call and repeat. But regardless whether it was or not, it was people were on this journey, they would begin to feel literal discouragement. They would begin to feel like this journey is taking longer than they expected. Their feet were getting tired. Their muscles were aching. They were feeling thirsty. The same things that happened to us on a journey, right? And they thought the progress would take longer, and sometimes, depending on the weather, it would go slower than they expected. Unexpected things would happen along the way. It's an incredible metaphor for life as they were taking this journey. And as they were going, they would sing this song to remind themselves of something critical and important. And that it's something that is true for us as we're on journeys, as we're on the journey of life, that there is help that is available to us while we are on this journey. And from the jump, I just want to call something out, because depending on the translation that we read from, some of us have seen this section of scripture, and sometimes it's translated. It says, I lift my eyes up to the heavens where my help comes from. And it's translated that way sometimes because punctuation in Hebrew is confusing. But I want to just remind us, because that can sometimes cause us to think that it's saying that our help is from the mountain, or that our help is bound to the mountain, or like there's some geographic proximity to God's domain and God's able ability to work in our lives. But what this song is actually saying, it's asking, it says, I look to the hills, but where does my help come from? I love the ERV version of this. It says, I look up to the hills, but where does my help really come from? Right? Now, there was ancient teachings that said that God lives up in the mountains, right? Right? They would hear rumblings up on a big mountain, or they would see smoke, and they'd say, yeah, the gods live up there. Right? Or they would see the mountains and they would say, wow, somebody really powerful must have made all of this. And they would suppose, understandably, that whoever had the power to make all of this probably doesn't care about my everyday life. Right? And that's understandable, right? Whoever made the whole universe, all of this stuff, man, he must be really busy. He must have a lot going on. He's really powerful. He doesn't care about my little problems, right? But that's not the God that we see revealed in Scripture. In fact, that's not the God that we see revealed in this psalm. Because they say, I look to the hills, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Creator, right? The God who created the heavens and the earth. He is my help. These are people who are traveling to Jerusalem to worship God, but they know that God's not confined to the temple there. God's help is available to them on the journey. We serve a God who, we come to church, and it's important that we do. We come to church to worship God, but God doesn't live here. He lives out there too, right? We don't have to go to a certain place to access God. We don't have to hike up a mountain to meet God there. We don't have to summon God by doing certain rituals. We don't have to take a substance to encounter God. No, we've got a God who is available to us, right? That's the God that we see in Scripture. He's available to us in every circumstance, in every situation. In fact, from the very beginning, we go back to the garden. And what was God's original intent and original plan? God created everything, right? With purpose and with intention, he created everything that exists. And the very last thing that he created, the capstone of his entire creation, he creates mankind, not just willy-nilly, but in his own image, right? He made us special. And he set Adam and Eve in that garden. He gave them everything that they needed to survive and thrive in life, including constant access to him. Because God's desire has always been to be our constant help, to be our constant source, to be our constant strength, to be available to us at all times. That was his intention from the very beginning. And of course, we know if we've read Scripture that what do? They reject and they go against what God told them to do. But God, the story doesn't stop there, right? We know that he sends Jesus. And what does Jesus tell us? Jesus tells us in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come. What's his purpose and what is his plan? I have come that you might have life and have it to its fullest. How do we have life and how do we have life to its fullest? We have access to the help of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, right? And then he doesn't stop there. He even goes on, right? What does Jesus say? He says that if he goes to the Father, right? He says if he goes to the Father, that he's going to ask the Father to send us a helper who will be with us. Always talking about the Holy Spirit. His desire from the very beginning of Scripture to the very end of Scripture, from the very beginning of time to the very end of time, his desire is for us to have access to his help, right? So when we look, when we're on the journey and we look ahead and we say, like these people journeying to Jerusalem, we say, I thought I would be closer, but I'm still so far off. I thought I would be further along, but I'm still so far off. I thought life would be going differently, but it's not. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling weak, right? I have access to help. I have access to help, and not just any help, but I have access to help that comes from the Father, the Creator of heaven in earth, right? So in this psalm, we see there's three different things. There's three different things that are revealed in here. We see the psalmist describing the source of our help, right? What's the source of our help? The source of our help is the Creator of heaven and earth, right? The God who created everything that exists wants to help us, wants to be available in our everyday lives. We also see the strength of our help, right? We're going to dive into that. We also see the security of our help. The help that we have from God is secure, right? But we're helped by the Creator of all. You know, if you want to sum up the Christian life, one of the ways you could sum up the Christian life is basically it's daily saying, God, I need your help. What's the Christian life? It's saying, God, I need your help. Right? I can't do this on my own. You know, there's nothing I can do today apart from that God made for me to do apart from him. There's nothing that you could do today that God's made you to do apart from him, But I can't be the man I'm called to be. I can't be the husband. I can't be the dad. I need help in my marriage. I need help in my parenting. And there's a temptation as I say those things, you're probably rightfully saying, well, Brian, you could do those things apart from God, right? I can exist. I can parent. I can be married, right? I can also get on 64 and I can drive in reverse and like look in the rearview mirror. I can do it, right? Now, if you saw me doing it, you'd be like, why are you doing that? Do you realize you could put it in drive and like it would be a heck of a lot easier, right? We can, but we were not created to do it apart from him. You can try and figure out how to do it on your own, but you have access to the God who created you, who knit you together, who knows you better than you know yourself, who knows the universe, who knows it all. We have access, continual access to him. We don't have to get in certain proximity or do certain dances. He's available to us. Psalm 121 here, the psalmist, he declares, I have help every day from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. But you know what? This reveals something that we're uncomfortable with, something that we try and hide, something that we don't want to admit. But the reality is that we're all dependent creatures, right? We're all dependent creatures. And this flies in the face of the stories that we like to tell, right? We all like to tell stories about how we did it all on our own, right? About how we pulled ourselves up and nobody helped me. In fact, everyone was against me. But you know what? I built myself from nothing and I'm a self-made man and nobody helped, you know. But it's not true. It's always a story, right? We always had help along the way and we always are dependent upon something or someone, right? We are dependent creatures. And it's not by accident. It's actually by design. God wants us to be dependent on him. He wants us to receive his help. He wants us to cry out for his help. He wants us to access the help that he makes available to us. It's not a question of if we're going to be dependent, right? We can say, I don't depend on anybody. No. It's not a question of if. It's a question of who. It's a question of what, right? If we're not dependent on God, we're going to be dependent on something or someone. But we have an invitation. We have this invitation to tap into the presence and the power of God that can be at work in our lives. I just want to remind us, this is something that we probably know to be true, but there's a difference between knowing that God is our help and actually receiving his help when we're in a time of need. There's a difference between knowing intellectually that God is our help, right? I would imagine that if we took a poll, most people in this room would say, yeah, God's my help. But what happens when I'm actually in a time of need? Right? I'll just speak for myself. Too often when I'm in a time of need, I don't actually tap into it. It's like the second or third thing that I do. I don't know if maybe I'm anybody else with me, right? It's like the second or third thing that I get around to when the first couple things didn't work, right? It's human nature. But they're singing this song along the way because they're reminding themselves, we have access to the creator of heaven and earth. We could be helped right now. Right? We could be helped right now and we can be helped in the future. Right? There's a difference between knowing that God is our help and actually looking to him when we are in need of help. And these people that are along the journey, right? It's encouraging because they're making sacrifices to be on this journey, right? They had taken off work, they had making arrangements, they had packed bags, they had set aside days for this, right? These are not people who are like halfway in with God. These people are pretty devoted, right? They're making a multiple day journey to go worship God. And yet they find themselves in this circumstance and in this situation where they're needing to remind themselves. Right, so at least we start to make ourselves like feel bad about it. This is just our human existence. This is just who we are. Right, we can go to church. We can read our Bibles. We can go through growth track. We can come to First Wednesday. We can do all the things, but we can forget to reach out to God when we need help. Right, it's not because we're bad. It's because we're human, and God knows this about us, and that's why we need to be reminded about this. That's why there's the wisdom of these people as they were taking this journey. They would sing this song to remind them. They used this song to remind themselves of something that they knew they were prone to forget. There's some things that we're prone to forget, aren't they? They seem simple, but we're prone to forget them. In fact, this is one of the things that we're really prone to forget in our culture because it's around us everywhere, right? The idea that the God who created everything wants to be involved in our everyday lives, it's around us everywhere. We're saturated like we have Christianity had such an influence on our culture that it's everywhere, that we can just say that and not even think about the magnitude of that, right? We have a Bill of Rights that says there's certain God-given inalienable rights. That's crazy, right? That's crazy, but we take it for granted. The idea that the God who created everything actually cares about us, that's amazing. That he would take on human flesh, that he would walk around and experience life like we experience it, that he would lay down his life for us so that we could be restored to that relationship. Man, if I was God and somebody rejected me, I don't know if I would send a rescue mission. But God's so good, he sent a rescue mission. He wasn't done. And he's still not done. Because we still, right? Why do we get up? Why do we preach? Because God's still. He's still trying to remind us that there's help accessible to us if we would just reach out to him. Right? We're the same as these people on this journey. In our own journeys, we forget that this help is available to us. Do we look to him when we need help? Too often in life, the answer is no. Right? And this is revealed when we face struggles, right? What do we do when we face that financial struggle? Is our first reaction to cry out to God, or do we start scheming? Right? Start trying to figure it out. Right? When we get in relational trouble, right? Is our first inclination to start trying to craft stories, and right? Or do we follow his example and humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness? And right? When we find ourselves in trouble, do we immediately take control without even thinking to pray? Or do we go to him? Right? I don't ask these as condemnations. I ask these because it reveals areas where we can ask God to help us. We can invite him in. Right? He stands knocking, not because he wants to come in and condemn, but because he wants to come in and help us. Right? We say that we trust in God, but too often our actions reveal differently. Right? That's why this song exists. That's why if we're wise, we will adopt the same thing. And that's one of the reasons that we read scripture regularly, right? Because we want to remind ourselves of these truths that they don't seem groundbreaking if we don't actually dive into them. But if we really take it in and we really listen to it, we really ingest it, right? This is incredible good news. Incredible good news. By the way, we undersell the gospel when we make it all about going to heaven, right? Right? We make it all about, I'm going to be with God in heaven one day. Right? That's not what Jesus was all about, right? Jesus was about giving us help here and now, that we would live this life to the fullest, right? That we would be able to experience his help in our everyday lives. In John 14, 16, Jesus says that. He says, and I'll ask the Father to give you another helper that will be with you forever, right? Talking about the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody says it this way. He says, you might as well try to hear without ears or breathe without lungs as to try to live the Christian life without the Spirit of God in your heart. Psalm 46:1 reminds us, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. I'm so thankful that this psalm reminds us that we have help that's accessible to us. The source of our help can be, if we choose for it to be, can be from the God who created the heavens and earth. He's bent over backwards to make it clear to us. In fact, even sent us a Holy Spirit that will live inside of us so that we have access to his help in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what destination, no matter what zip code, no matter what place we find ourselves in, we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This psalm also reminds us that it's God's desire to help us even when we don't know that we need his help. Too often we don't reach out to him when we know we need help, but this psalm reminds us that there's times that we need help and we don't even realize we need it. It says in verse 3 and 4, it says, he will not let you fall. Your protector will not fall asleep. Israel's protector does not get tired. He never sleeps. What's this revealing to us? What's this reminding us? It's reminding us that not only does God know that it's easy for us to slip up, he knows that it's easy for us to fall asleep. It's easy for us to lose focus. It's easy for us to forget, right? But he's watching out for us when we don't even know that we need his help. I wonder sometimes when we stand before God, if we might get a glimpse at all the times that he's been looking out for us and we never knew it. All the times he's protected us and we never even knew that we needed protecting. the things that he saved us from that we didn't even know. Sometimes we get a glimpse of it later in life, right? We're able to look back and we're like, thank God he closed that door, right? Thank God that he's looking out for us even when we don't know that we need his help. Lamentations 3, another book of songs. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24 says, we are still alive because of the Lord's faithful love that never ends. Every morning, he shows it in new ways. You are so very true and loyal. I say to myself, the Lord, my God, I trust in him. We are still alive because of God's faithful love that never ends. Isn't that the truth? Right? We have life because he gave it to us, and our life is preserved because he takes care of us. Right? We take for granted sometimes the fact that he is so good to us, that he watches out for us even when we don't know that we need it. You know, some of us, we can go through life and we can feel so much anxiety trying to preserve everything, trying to look out for everything, trying to, we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Some of us, we've experienced things in life that we, you know, we're just waiting for something bad to happen, or so we're anxious, right? I remember a few years ago, there was a big storm that came through. And I was laying awake and I was hearing these trees outside my window creak. Have you ever heard that in a storm? The trees are creaking and creaking. I could not sleep because I was so worried that this tree might like fall on my house. But I was working at a church in Northern Virginia at the time, and I went into the office the next morning, and we were having a staff meeting, and we were all talking about all of us had lost sleep, and we couldn't sleep last night because we were hearing these trees, and we were making a big deal about how scary it was, even though nothing bad had happened, but we all had lost a bunch of sleep. And finally, one of the oldest members of the staff, we call her Sister Nancy. She's in her 80s. She'd been the church bookkeeper for a long time. And she said, well, if some of you guys could help me after work today, I need to get this tree off my house. A big oak tree had fallen on her house. And we said, Sister Nancy, did that wake you up? And she said, well, you know, Scripture says that the Lord never sleeps and never slumbers, and that he's looking out for me, so I figured it no sense in both of us losing sleep. And we all laughed. But what she was saying was so convicting, right? Because I laid awake, and what was I going to do? Did I keep that tree from falling in my house by being awake? Absolutely not. And what is she? She's speaking about what this psalm's speaking about, but even more so, she knew Jesus. And what does Jesus say? In Matthew 6, Jesus says, you worry about so many things, but can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Right? He says you worry about clothes, you worry about what you eat, you worry about what you drink. All of your worrying, like, what's the, I love it, I love how practical Jesus is. What's the ROI? Like, how's that investment of your time paying off? Well, your worrying's not doing very much, Jesus says. can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? He says, why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field? Do they spin or labor? And yet not even Solomon, all of his splendor. I love Jesus, and he's being comical here. Solomon, in all of his splendor, not even he was dressed like one of these. And if God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow and thrown into the fire, will he not clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And he goes on about talking about what you eat and what you wear. And he says, if God takes care of the sparrows, which are sold at the temple for like a dime, how much more does he care about you? This psalm's reminding us of something that we need to be reminded of, that we are so prone to worry. We're so prone to even think that our worry is somehow paying off, that we're somehow protecting ourselves. But this psalm reminds us that our protection does not come from our ability to see everything coming. Our protection does not come from us being able to spot everything that might do us harm. Our protection comes not from being able to anticipate everything. Our protection comes from the Lord. And it was important for these people, it was important for the singers of this song to be reminded, because as they look to those hills, the reality was, as they're on this journey and they're heading to Jerusalem, those hills represented a bunch of unknowns. Those hills up ahead represented a bunch of potential worries. Because you know what lived in those hills? Well, there were wild animals that lived in those hills that were prone to attack. There were thieves that lived in those hills that would camp out in those hills that were prone to jump in and rob you. That's when Jesus tells the story about the parable of the Good Samaritan, which was probably a made-up story, but it resonated with people because it was based in people's real experience. He talked about a man who was journeying from on the same path from Jerusalem, and how some people jumped out and stole all of his money and beat him up. And that resonated with people, not because Jesus made up something that was outlandish, but because people were like, oh yeah, no, I know, you know, that happened to George the other day. Right? They knew, like, they're like, yeah, no, that's real. Right? And so the same thing was true as they were taking this journey. There could be some people up in those hills. But what are they, why are they reminding themselves of this? They're reminding themselves that even if you could plan and even if you could figure out exactly where they were, right? Is that going to stop it? No. We're going to trust in God instead. It's a great reminder for us. I know we're so sophisticated today. We know so much more than they knew back then. But we need to remind ourselves that the source of our help is not in and of ourselves, but it's in God. So he talks about the source of our help. He also talks about the strength of our help, right? In verse 5, he talks about how God protects us from our enemies. He says, the Lord is your protector. The Lord stands by your side, shading and protecting you. I love this. This is so good because it's a word picture for the way that a soldier would go into battle. The way a soldier would typically go into battle and back in the day was they would have two things. They would have a shield and they would have a sword. You'd normally hold the sword in your left hand and the shield in your left hand and your sword in your right hand. Because most people are right-handed. And so you were more defended on the side with the shield, right? And on the right side, your hope was that you'd be able to get somebody if they come, right? But if you don't see them, they might get you. And you don't have a shield to block them. What's this song? It's reminding us that even if somebody gets past your ability to get them with your sword, God's got you. He's protecting you, your blind side. He's protecting you on the side where you can't see. Right? What are they reminding themselves of? They're reminding themselves that God is there for us. God is protecting us even from the things that we don't see. We don't have to figure out where every attack is coming from because God has us. Right? Sometimes we're attacked where we're weakest. Sometimes we're also attacked where we're strongest. Right? We see this throughout Scripture, right? Elijah was renowned for his courage, and yet we see his downfall when he runs away from Jezebel. He loses all of his courage, right? Moses had great strength. His greatest strength was his meekness. And yet he ends up in anger striking the rock when God told him to speak to the rock. We see that Abram's greatest strength was his faith. Right? He had incredible faith to follow God, and yet we see that they went into Egypt in pure unbelief. Right? Sometimes we're attacked where we're weak, sometimes we're attacked where we're strong, but no matter how we're attacked, no matter what comes against us, we have a God whose desire is to protect for us, to fight our battles for us, to work on our behalf if we will allow him to. The point of this effort is this, that we will be attacked. We don't know where the attack is coming from, but it never catches God off guard. We can trust him. It goes on to say this in verse 6. It says, the sun can't harm you by day, and the moon cannot harm you by night. What's he saying here? Well, first off, he's saying it doesn't matter the time of day. It doesn't matter the season. God is for you. God's with you. God's available to you. But it doesn't matter if you're awake or if you slumber. God is with you. He's there. He's available. But what is he also saying? For these people that are on the journey, he's talking about something very real for them. Right? They had the tendency, you're traveling multiple days, the sun's beating down on you. You could get sunstroke, right? The sun's trying to kill you, right? It might take you out, right? God will protect you. But also, what's it talking about with the moon? There's some debate about this, but a lot of theologians say, well, it's talking about this ancient belief that the moon, up until recently, people thought the moon caused madness, that the moon caused mental illness, right? It's why the word lunatic has lunar as the base of it. People thought it came from the moon, right? Which now we know better, right? We know better than that. We know it's not the moon. We know that that's just weird superstition. But what's the point of what the psalmist is saying there? God cares about your physical health. God cares about your mental health. God cares about you in the morning. God cares about you at the night. God cares about the whole of who you are. If it matters to you, God cares, right? If it's something that's on your heart, God cares, right? We can bring anything to God. There's not realms or spaces that God doesn't intervene. Right, sometimes we live in this dualistic life where we think like this is a God thing, this is not a God thing. No. God cares about it all. God wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. It's not spiritual things and unspiritual things. God cares about it all. He cares about what's in the light and what's in the dark. Amen. He goes on and Psalm 91:4 says this. It says, you can go to him for protection. He will cover you like a bird spreading its wings over its babies. You can trust him to surround and protect you like a shield. In Psalm 18:2, it says this. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my place of safety. He is my God, the rock I run to for protection. He is my shield. By his power I am saved. He is my hiding place high in the hills. This psalm is asking us the question and reiterating this theme in Scripture, asking us, where is it that we're going to go for help? Where is it that we're going to look for help? Who are we going to? Who are we trusting in? Who are we depending on? It's reminding us that the help that we have available to God, from God is a strong help. It's a sufficient help, right? We have help from God, and we have powerful help from God. He goes on then in verse 7 and 8, and I'm going to close here. He talks about the security of our help, right? Not only is this help available to us, not only is this help powerful, but the help that we have available from God, it's absolutely secure. He says this in verse 7. He says, the Lord will protect you from every danger. He will protect your soul. He's talking about this idea that God will protect us from evil, right? The idea that there's evil that God's going to protect us from. God's desire is for us to not be overcome by evil, but to overcome the evil, right? Jesus makes this point, though. We so often think, when we think evil, we think about things out there, right? We think about all the things out there and all the things that the devil might be doing out there, but we often neglect the evil that can reside right inside of us, right here. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 15, verses 10 and 11. He calls people to him and he says to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles the person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles the person. Right, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you think so much about all the stuff that might corrupt from the outside. And he's not saying that that's not true. But he's saying, you know what really gets us tripped up? What really gets us messed up is the stuff that starts inside here, right? The lies and the deceit, the slander, the gossip, all those things that come out of us, right? And those are the hardest things often for us to deal with. I don't know if you've noticed how easy it is to sin, right? It requires next to no effort. Why is sin so easy? I think there's three reasons sin's so easy. We're born with it, right? We like it, right? Scripture says sin's fun for a season, right? We like it. And we're good at it. Number three, we're good at it. Yeah, right? We're pretty good at it. Probably some sins you're real good at, right? There's some sins I'm real good at. It's real, right? But Jesus wants to help us deal with those things, right? He wants to help us get freedom from those things. Paul says it to the Romans this way. He says, yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. By this I mean nothing good in the part of me that's not spiritual. I want to do good, but I don't do it. I love that Paul puts sin that way, because sometimes we can think of sin in an abstract way, but what is Paul saying? At the end of the day, sin is, I know the good thing I should do, and I just don't do it. right? All of us struggle with that, right? We know the bad thing we shouldn't do, and we end up doing that. We know the good thing we should do. In fact, I even want to do it. Right? I want to be generous. I want to be kind. I want to be forgiving. And yet so often it's hard to do that. Where are we going to get help to do that? In Psalm 121 here, they're reminding themselves the help to do those things doesn't come from trying harder. Right? A gospel of just try harder, just do more, that's not Jesus. The gospel is, I want to do that. I want to live a life pleasing to God. I want to live that abundant life that Jesus said that he would give me. I need help to do it. God, will you help me? God, will you help me? Not one time, but day after day. God, will you help me? God, will you help me? God, will you help me? And there's help that is available. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the only temptations that you have are ones that all people have. But you can trust God. He will not let you be tempted more than you can bear. When you are tempted, God will provide you a way of escape. And you will be able to endure it. You know, the reality is that all of us are tempted, right? But temptation is not the same thing as sin. Right? There's a lie of the devil that says, well, you already thought it, so you may as well do it. Right? And a lot of us get messed up there, right? Because we're like, okay, well, I've already started out the door. May as well keep going. No. It's a great reminder from Scripture. When we're tempted, we don't have to just follow through. There's an escape path over here, right? That's part of the way that God preserves us from evil. That's part of the way that he preserves us from evil is that he provides us a way out, right? We just have to look for it. And then, of course, the psalm ends. It says, the Lord will protect you as you come and as you go, now and forever. The reminder that the strength and the power that we have from God, the help that we have from God is not bound to a certain season or a certain phase or a certain time, but it's eternal. We have help from God that is good for yesterday, today, and always. Jesus will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. And so this whole psalm goes back to the very beginning question of where do we go for help? And I want to invite us as we close here to see.